What about the issue of axillary dissection after a positive sentinel node? It seems like we're not going to have a clinical research answer to that because the Z11 trial closed. Are there situations where you think it's reasonable to not do an axillary section in that situation?
Yes. Kim Van Zee, one of my partners, created a nomogram that will very accurately predict the likelihood of finding a positive node in the axilla above a positive sentinel node. This is available free on our website, which is mskcc.org. And that's an incredibly useful tool, because if I've got someone and the score is 2% or 3% of me finding more disease, I'll forego the axillary dissection. 20%, 30%, I won't. So I do think that there's selectivity in who gets an axillary dissection. There is a trial about to commence, led by Barbara Smith and her colleagues in Boston, which will randomize sentinel node positive patients to axillary surgery versus axillary radiation. And that's going to be an incredibly valuable and exciting study.
Seems like that'd have to be one hell of a large study to find an answer.
It will. And a long time, as we discussed before.
This nomogram, what are the key factors that are incorporated into it?
What Dr. Van Zee did was she looked back at 1,000 consecutive node positive, sentinel node positive patients, and using a logistic regression model, identified the variables that were associated with node positivity above a sentinel node, so that what you would predict, tumor size, tumor grade, the presence of lymphovascular invasion, ductal versus lobular, the number of nodes you take out, whether you took out one sentinel node or four sentinel nodes. And then finally, it relies on how was the metastasis detected? Was it H&E or was it IHC? And those factors together were weighted by the model so that what you get is a clean percentage score of the chance of finding a positive node.
You mentioned number of sentinel nodes. What's the typical number you guys get? What should it be? And what are the variables?
Well, after 8,000 plus cases, we have a remarkably constant number of sentinel nodes per person, which is about 2.5 sentinel nodes per patient. The range there is 1 to about 7 or 8. Beyond 7 sentinel lymph nodes, that's a failed procedure. Your tracer has either fragmented and gone to too many axillary lymph nodes, or there's some other anatomic reason that it has failed. A recent change in our practice that is noteworthy is we learned that if one selects the hottest or the largest or the bluest sentinel nodes, the first three nodes contain breast cancer when it's there, about 97% of the time. So we are only doing enhanced pathology on the first three sentinel nodes. So on that case where there's 5 or 6 sentinel nodes, the other nodes go for routine analysis.
What about internal mammary sentinel nodes?
We seem to talk about it more than we do it. The patient who I think would benefit from an internal mammary node biopsy would be a younger patient with a sub-centimeter inner quadrant cancer in whom the axilla is negative, where the internal mammary node being positive would buy them chemotherapy. Now, Oncotype DX may make that argument obsolete. That rare scenario represents 2 to 3% of our entire practice, so it's a very, very uncommon scenario. It is worth noting for the surgeons that many surgeons in America are using the intradermal injection approach that we championed. The skin never drains to the internal mammary nodes. And so if one is seeking information about an internal mammary node, you have to do a deep parenchymal injection.